There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wow, in a different universe, we'd be doing different things this week. But we're delighted to welcome in our buddy from the New York Post. He's Mark Cannizzaro. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline, Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. And Mark has done it. He's written the book, literally written the book on the Masters. 7 days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. You can find it everywhere. Books are sold. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Mark. Boy, do I miss the tickling of those ivories that you just played right there, and the sound of Jim Nance's voice. I mean, that's just kind of wistful almost, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, I hope you're well. I hope all the family's good, and you know, I got to tell you, you just said it. Wistful is the way you feel when you hear something like that. And it's just always been the most special moment on the calendar. Yeah, I love the Open, but there's something about the Masters. And one of my buddies this week sent out an email, you know, hey, Steve, it's your first pick because we do a Masters pool every year. Oh. And it was like, oh, man, does that hurt.
That's a gut punch right there. Jeez. Yeah, I had about an hour-long conversation with him yesterday for a column I'm doing on Saturday, and they're replaying the 04 on CBS, is replaying the 04 Masters when Mickelson won his first major, and the Masters that you just had on the lead in there, Tigers win last year. And what they've done, actually, I'm not trying to promo CBS, but it sounds like kind of an interesting thing. They interviewed Phil for about 2 hours and Tiger, the same thing Nance did, and they're doing the broadcast of the events that they won with Nance. It should be pretty interesting take, actually, you know, a little bit of surrogate Masters for us this weekend, so to speak.
And Mark, you have the book 7 Days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. Phil Mickelson wrote the foreword, and now you've got 7 more months to promote it.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit longer time before, obviously, the Masters scheduled to now go in November. What did you think about the way that golf reconfigured its schedule this week, and how optimistic are you that things will get back to being on the course and we'll be able to watch something on our television screens?
Well, I mean, full disclosure, I'm an optimist. I try not to be negative and a pessimist, you know, which is hard at this time of year, you know, this time for all of us, but I think when they reconfigured the schedule on Monday of this week, all the powers that be, you know, the Tour, the Masters, you know, everybody. Unfortunately, the Open Championship in the British is canceled, which is a shame. But I think everybody that rescheduled and pushing all the majors back to the late summer and fall was all done with fingers crossed. I mean, let's be honest with you. We have no idea what's going to take place between now and then. I mean, I just hope that they take place. I know Jack Nicklaus is on record saying he doesn't think there's going to be a Masters. I think you can play golf without spectators. I think it still can be a compelling television event, and at this point we're all starved for anything sports-related that's live. So I think golf is probably suited best that, you know, of all the major sports, because it's not a contact sport, that you actually can, you know, put an event on and make it a television event without spectators. Because, I mean, the PGA Tour right now is, as we sit right now, they are still, they've still got June tournaments on the schedule. I mean, that's not too far ahead of us right now.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine at this point. But Mark, let's talk about the book. You know everything about the Masters going in. You've been covering it forever, and you know you know Amen Corner to Butler Cabin to all of it. What did you learn? Was there anything that you learned while writing the book that you that kind of surprised you?
Well, it's funny. You know, you meant to mention the Butler Cabin. I to me, the Butler Cabin is, to me, I don't think I even knew where the Butler Cabin. I've covered 25 Masters. I'm not sure until maybe 8 Masters in, I even knew where the Butler Cabin was. It was kind of this mystical place to me, or the mythical place. You know, and I sat in there with Jim Nantz and did an interview with him in the Butler Cabin, and it was fascinating. You know, but I mean, I don't know that I was anything that I learned. What I really tried to do, to be honest with you, is the Masters, as you guys know, is the most difficult ticket in sports. So most people can never get a ticket. And even if you try to get it on the secondary market, it's probably the most expensive scalped ticket you can find. And obviously Augusta National is one of the most exclusive golf clubs on the planet, so you can't go play there. So the Masters, to me, for most sports fans and most golf fans, is like this kind of this mythical event that's a television event. And there's only so much you can see on television. So, you know, I tried to bring readers into the Butler Cabin and what that looks like, what goes on in there, what takes place. I did a chapter about the oak tree that's right behind the clubhouse and all the movers and shakers for all week long, or players, caddies, agents, you know, you name it, tournament directors. You know, so much stuff goes on under there. Things that go on around the town, you know. I mean, one thing I did learn, to be honest with you, is not that we didn't know that the commerce was so massive that one week, but I mean, that tournament transforms that small city, you know, for one week a year, 7 days, you know, in May, in April. And, you know, it brings $100 million of revenue into that Augusta area. You know, people rent their homes out and make, you know, they pay for their half of their mortgage for the year. So, you know, I did a chapter on the local, you know, steakhouse that's right down the street that's known as the unofficial 19th hole at Augusta National. You know, and sat down with the owner there, all the players and the caddies and fans and agents all hang out there all week. So I just tried to peel back some things that you don't see on television and try to bring the reader, to be honest with you, into the Masters without having a ticket, for lack of a better way to put it.
Mark, it's so hard to believe that it's only a year ago that Tiger Woods was celebrating sort of the resurgent victory at Augusta and all that that represented and how much we enjoyed seeing that happen. And now here we are waiting until November for another Masters, and the compressed schedule that I wonder, you know, it's fun to consider how it'll affect, you know, the golfers, because that means they're going to be competing and back on the course. But have you thought that far ahead to how Tiger might respond to this schedule and whether or not the fact that you have the Open and the Ryder Cup back to back, and will that favor some golfers over others in terms of a quicker bounce back?
I think that's a great question, and my answer to that is, you know, Tiger just went on, you know, the Golf TV thing that he has a contract with yesterday, I believe, and talked about, you know, how he was healthy enough and he was going to be ready to roll this week at the Masters. A Masters in November, the temperatures are going to be at least 10 degrees cooler than they would be this month in April, which is not good for Tiger and his back. You know, the other thing, as you just referenced, you know, if all of these reschedules are as they are, you're talking about a PGA Championship in late August, U.S. Open in September, the FedEx Cup stuff, and then the Masters. And that's bang, 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 really. And by the way, you know, there's a Ryder Cup in there too. So, you know, that is a lot of golf. And Tiger, you know, the last couple of years, and particularly last year, has scaled his schedule back so much. He's only played twice this year. You know, his back started hurting him after the Genesis in February. He hasn't played since. So I can't imagine that this is, I mean, this can't be anything but a detriment, in my opinion, to Tiger defending his green jacket in November. I can't think that would help him all. To me, it helps it helps whomever the younger guy is and whomever is hot at that time. Because as you guys see it, like Koepka, you know, went on that run, you know, a year and a half straight. If anybody gets on that kind of run in August and September, to me, it's advantage of that guy, you know, whether it's John Rahm or, you know, Justin Thomas or whomever. But I think, you know, the answer to that question, to be honest with you, is I don't see this being an advantage to Tiger whatsoever. It's going to be a disadvantage, if anything.
I want to get back to the actual outside of the tournament, because we know, you know, you hear the music as we played it to open, and we know what it looks inside, but outside the gates, it's kind of a honky-tonk crowd, right? I mean, there's some weird stuff going on.
Hey, listen, the circus comes to town, man. I'm telling you, it is, you know, I usually get there on Monday, you know, of the week, you know, the first of the 7 days in Augusta, so to speak, of the book. And I start riding Monday and right on through. But, you know, we're out and about. I rent a house off property, so to speak. And, you know, I see the rest. You know, I've been going to the restaurants and the bars for years and 25 years now. And, you know, that town, you know, a colleague of mine who used to be the sports editor of the Augusta Chronicle, which is the Bible to the Masters, and I did a chapter on what they do, which is amazing. John Boyette, he always called it the second Christmas in Augusta, Masters Week. And some people call it the 13th month. So, I mean, it is, the funny thing to me is, when you drive down the road that gets you into Augusta National, like if you were going down there and it wasn't Masters Week, and you're going to take a right down Magnolia Lane, you know, the famous Magnolia Lane, the tree lined, you know, azaleas, and that road is the most honky-tonk, trashy road. I mean, there are strip malls. There's every single chain restaurant you can possibly find. Yeah. There's auto dealerships. There's religious sects, you know, setting up on the side of the streets. And then you have this tiny little lane that drives down that famous picture that you see toward the bucolic clubhouse with the azaleas and the flower bed that makes the Augusta logo with the flagpole. And I mean that flagpole and that area is 200 yards away from a place that's just a dump, you know. And I'm not trying to, I'm kind of leaking on Augusta a little bit, but listen, if you go downtown Augusta, guys, I'm telling you, downtown Augusta, I mean, every other storefront is vacant. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that to make fun of it at all, but it's a downtrodden town. And that 1 week, it transforms that town, and there's an energy in that place, you know. And you talk to the locals who are from there, and talk about what it's like before the Augusta and after, you know, and after Augusta. It's, you know, it's hard to imagine, really. I mean, I'm there only, the only time I've ever been there is during Masters Week. You know what I mean? So I've never been there when it's not Masters Week. But the circus literally comes to town, and it's there for seven-plus days.
Mark, before we let you go, wanted to get your thoughts on, we know you covered the NFL there, and obviously with the draft 2 weeks away, what do you think about the way the league has structured this draft as a virtual experience and kind of keeping everybody out of the main buildings and having them do it from their living rooms?
I am very fascinated to see what it's going to look like on television, what ESPN and NFL Network, I guess it's really primarily ESPN because NFL Network can't even get into their studios. It's going to be fascinating to see what it looks like. It's funny, I've had this conversation for about a week or two now, yay or nay on having the draft, you know, on April 23rd. I mean, you know, the virus is peaking now until about the 23rd, depending on where you are in the country. And I'm torn because as a sports fan and as a sports writer, God, I want that draft to go on because I want something to write about and look about and study and watch and all that kind of stuff. But then the other side of me is this too soon? Is the NFL jamming this down everybody's throat, you know, in a money-making thing? Because can you imagine what the TV rating is going to be for that? It's going to be out of control. People are going to be watching the third day of the draft like it's the Super Bowl. And they're going to be watching players who they've never heard of come off the board, you know what I mean? Because there's nothing to watch other than, you know, 6 years ago's ALCS or whatever, you know what I mean, on a replay. So it's going to be a fascinating go. I'm looking forward to it. I've been writing about it in the lead-up and will be as we go. And as a sports fan, you know, I want to see something of consequence live on television in sports. So, you know, I'm glad they're doing it, but I absolutely see the other side. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people struggling and going through tragedy right now, and it's kind of weird to be celebrating, you know, this. You know what I mean? I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
Yep. Amen. Mark, thanks a ton. We really appreciate it. The name of the book, 7 Days in Augusta Behind the Scenes at the Masters. You can get it everywhere books are sold, so make sure you go and order it. Thanks a ton, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
It's great to talk to him, and it's great to think about sports coming back. But, yeah, it's tough with the draft. All right, want to thank everyone. It's been a great week. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening all week.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. Thanks to Dustin.
This big pile of man goo.
Wow. Thanks to Kevbo.
I have this beautiful head of hair. I need a lot of water.
And, of course, Ray. God bless you, Ray. Thank you, buddy.
Excuse my English, but I'm born to do this.
Hey, David, have a great Good Friday. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun, and enjoy it, buddy.
Happy Easter, Mully. Stay safe, and everybody, all the best for this weekend.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doctor's Log, Hell Date 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my Doctor's Log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
At Sprint, our priority is keeping our customers, employees, and communities safe. During these uncertain times, get the great service you expect without leaving the safety of your home. Shop at Sprint.com for our best new phone deals, like the amazing iPhone 11. Lease it for just $15 a month when you switch. Stay healthy and go to Sprint.com today. iPhone 11, 64GB, $15 per month after 14-17 monthly credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires new line of service, 18-month lease, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Offer and coverage not available everywhere. $30 activation fee, taxes, and restrictions apply.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We're talking to Mark Grace here. Can I ask, like, what is your side of the story? Because I was actually at the game in 01 when you're with the Diamondbacks and you came back and you played at Wrigley and there was a huge standing ovation for you. There was never really an issue with Mark Grace and Cubs fans, so I...
I don't really understand
what happened between you and the organization.
Let's just put it this way. When we're younger, we all think we're probably better than we actually are or something like that. I just know this, that after 13 years of playing with the Chicago Cubs, I wanted to be a Cub for life. I wanted to be a Cub for life, and unfortunately for me, you know, I'm not the one making that decision.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Music trivia.
The CD is already a media almost obsolete. The first CD was introduced to the consumer market in Japan in 1982. CDs didn't make it to the States until 1983, with the first CD pressing plant opening stateside in 1984. The first two CDs to come off the line were... One was a promotional CD called the Edison CD Sampler. The other, the appropriately named Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
It's America's most political podcast, The Rage Cage. All arguing, all the time. Susan just publicly embarrassed Jim